Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're beginning the final message in this series about the changes that take place when we surrender our lives to Jesus. So let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 12 for a message called The Altered Life as we go back to basics.
Let me just sort of set the stage. Let me remind you of what we've seen so far here in this portion of Scripture. We saw that because of all the mercy, grace, and love that God has poured on us through Jesus Christ, we are in turn to present our bodies a living sacrifice. So we're to put ourselves on the altar, so to speak. We're to put ourselves on the altar, and Paul says this is our perfectly reasonable response. And we saw that in doing that, we are to stop letting the world mold us into its image, and instead, through the renewing of our minds, we are to be transformed, or we are to be changed, and we talked about that change being one from the inside out. And so what we're talking about today is the altered life. The altered life, kind of a play on words here. Our lives are put on the altar, but that's going to result in us being altered. We're going to be changed. Alteration is going to take place. That's God's intention. So it's the first two verses of the 12th chapter that speak to us about this putting our lives on the altar, so to speak. But then from verses 3:12 on to verse 7 of chapter 15, all the way through, Paul is then describing what this life is going to look like. And so we want to take a look at some of the things that he mentions here today. Not going entirely to the 15th chapter, but just looking here in the 12th and the 13th chapter at this picture that he gives us of the altered life. And so beginning in verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So the first thing I want you to notice is that the altered life is a balanced life. It's a balanced life in the sense that we get a realistic view of ourselves, and that brings stability. You know, people are erratic; they're kind of all over the place, oftentimes from one extreme to the other. But when we come to Christ, and when He begins to do that work in our lives, one of the things that He does is He stabilizes us. He brings us stability, and He does that by balancing things out. We're no longer thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. And we're thinking soberly. We've got a clearer picture of reality, of course, and then that gives us a clearer picture of who we are. So to begin with, the altered life is a balanced life, or it's a stabilized life. But look at the next couple of verses 4 and 5. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." The second thing to note about the altered life is it's a community life. It's a community life. It's you know, our tendency is to isolate sometimes from people. We live in a very individualistic culture where it's just sort of all about us and everything kind of revolves around us. And we don't think so much in the terms of community. But we have come into a family. And we're all members of this family. We've come into a community. And we have to function in that sense. We have to realize that it's not, in this context, it's not all about being independent. It's all about being dependent on one another. That's the way this new life works. This altered life is a community life. I need you, you need me, we need each other. That's the way God has set it up. And it's a beautiful thing. And for those who still try to maintain their isolated position or their individualism, they miss out on the richness of what God intends. He wants you to come in. He wants you to join in. He wants you to be a part of this community, a part of this family. It's so wonderful when you engage. It's so wonderful when you really connect and get in, because you find that all of these different parts of the body, they're so fascinating. And as you begin to connect with people, and as you meet new people, and I think of the relationships that God has blessed me with over the many years of being a Christian, and I think of all of the, you know, the differences, the variety, the people that I've had the privilege of knowing and serving the Lord with. It's just, it's fantastic. You can't say enough good things about it. But you do find people that don't realize that there's this community aspect to this altered life, and they try to do the Christian life on their own. You have those sort of Lone Ranger type of approaches to the Christian life. It doesn't work that way. God's called us into a community, and he wants us to be engaged together. Many members, one body. We're all in this together. Verses 6 through 8, listen to what he says here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The altered life, thirdly, it's a supernatural life. It's a supernatural life. Listen, we have been brought into something that's supernatural. This isn't a natural thing. We've been brought into this place where God is at work. You know, when you read the Bible, what do you find in the Bible? You're reading this book, and you're realizing, man, you know, this is supernatural. You've got God speaking out of heaven. You've got him giving his words to prophets. You've got angels going back and forth and interacting. You've got miraculous things happening, things that don't happen naturally. You read that in the pages of the Bible and you think, well, that's amazing. Does this still happen today? The answer is yes, it still happens. Where does it happen? It happens in this community. It happens in the context of God's people. Lives altered, we're brought into the supernatural realm. And we come with the expectation, we're going to pray to God and he's going to hear us. We're going to call out to God and he's going to come and visit us. We're going to ask God to do things and he's going to do them, actually. It's amazing. Now, of course, the world says, oh no, they're no supernatural. Nope, there's nothing supernatural. It's all completely natural. Naturalistic explanation for everything. It all came about through natural processes. There is nothing outside. There will be no intervention. The material world is all there is. If you believe that, I feel sorry for you. It's just not a reality. There is another world, And again, the Bible opens up our understanding to that. But as it opens up our understanding to it, we realize it didn't stop with the death of the last apostle, as some people want to think, even in the church. No, the supernatural still goes on today. Miracles still take place. God is still at work. He's doing amazing things. Early this morning, before the first service, a man came to me and he said, I want you to know I've been praying for you, and I've been praying faithfully for you, and I want you to know God is answering my prayers. And I'm listening to him thinking, well, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that you're praying for me, and then to know that God's answering your prayers. And he said, because I'm praying that God will speak through you. And listen, when I come and sit here, God's speaking to me through you, so I know God's answering my prayers. And I said, well, man, that is so great, because that's what I pray for too, and that's what I desire, and that's what we need. If it's just me up here speaking, we're all in big trouble. We need God to be speaking. But that's a supernatural thing, right? It's a supernatural thing that Paul's talking about right here. He's talking about gifts. He's talking about prophecy. Prophecy is God speaking through people to other people. So the altered life is a supernatural life. We're not just going on our brain power. We're not just going on what we can see before us. No, there's something else there. There's something behind the scenes. There's this intersection that's taking place between the natural and the supernatural, and the altered life is the entrance in to that supernatural aspect of life. And so we believe in and expect God to show up and to work in our midst. It's a supernatural life. Look at verse 9, first part of it. Let love be without hypocrisy. The altered life is an authentic life. That's what he's describing here. It's an authentic life. It's not a hypocritical thing. We're not pretending here. There shouldn't be anything phony about our lives as Christians. As Christians, we should be the most authentic people there are. We should be people that, you know, somebody could look at us and say, man, you know, that person, even though I might not agree with their theological views, even though I might not hold to their faith, you know, they're the real deal. They're genuine. That's what the altered life is. God wants to make us into real people. No hypocrisy, no phoniness. What you see is what you get. And what you're seeing is the work of God in a person's life. The altered life is authentic. It's attractive. When you see somebody that, you know, it's just, you know, we say that, don't we? And we're expressing appreciation when we say that, hey, you know, that person's real. I like that about them. I like that they're just real. They're honest. They're not pretending. They're not acting. They're not giving the impression that they're one thing, but in reality, they're something else. Oh, as God's people, we're called to be authentic. No phoniness, no hypocrisy. Jesus was very merciful. He was very gracious toward many, many things. But one thing that he didn't tolerate too well was hypocrisy. You remember, that was the problem with the religious leaders of his day. So the altered life is an authentic life. But then look at the second part of verse 9. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. So the altered life is a holy life. It's a holy life. God is working to change us. He's working to deal with the evil that we so often give place to in our lives. Now, I think this is true with many of us when we look at this passage here, when it says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. I think our first tendency is, when we think of abhorring what is evil, we're thinking of, I know what you mean. You know, Hollywood, boy, that place is evil. I abhor that. Or we might take it into the political realm. All of the evil coming out of Washington, D.C., or in our case here in California, all the evil coming out of Sacramento. And certainly there's evil coming out of these places. But, you know, the application is abhor what is evil means abhor it in your own life first. We've got to start with ourselves. Because like Jesus said, you can't hope to get the speck out of somebody's eye if you've got a plank in your own. And I have found sometimes, you know, I've found myself sometimes we're in prayer and, you know, we're praying for the nation and we're praying for the president and we're praying for the governor and we're praying for, you know, this letter, we're praying, oh Lord, the evil and help. And all of a sudden I stop, wait, we got evil right here in our own, under our own roof. Lord, deliver us from the evil in our own hearts. Help us to abhor that evil. We tend to hate evil in other people's lives, but we sort of coddle it in our own. We have a much higher tolerance for our own evil practices than we do for the evil practices of others, don't we? But when Paul says abhor evil, he's basically saying abhor evil right at home, right in your heart. Start there, deal with the evil in your own life, and cling to what is good. That's the altered life. It's a holy life. It's a life in pursuit of holiness. Look at verse 10 and also verse 15. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And then in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What's Paul talking about here? He's showing us that the altered life is an others-centered life. You know how you can really get a sense that God's working in your life, that he's really changing you? Because you're becoming less and less selfish. You're becoming less and less self-centered. You're becoming less and less self-focused. And you're becoming more and more others-focused. Boy, the Bible is full of this kind of instruction. Think not only on your own things, but think on the things of others. Put others before yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, did not consider his divinity something to be cling to, the privileges of that divinity. But he humbled himself. He became of no reputation. Paul says, you let this mind, the same mind, be in you. And what God is wanting to do in our lives as he alters us, he's wanting to take our focus off of ourselves and to put it on him, and then that will naturally transfer to others. Because you think of Jesus, he came and he lived entirely for others. Jesus came and he lived his entire life in obedience to God the Father, which translated into serving other people. So the altered life is the others-centered life. And the way he puts it here, kindly affectionate toward one another, brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. See, these are powerful things. In some ways, they seem like small things, but these are the things that when you put them all together, these are the things that make up life. So when these things are changing, you know, when we first come to faith in Christ, and I'm kind of speaking generally here, but you know, usually what happens, the big obvious kinds of sins, they're dealt with, and we recognize that, you know, that's wrong, and I can't live that way anymore, and we repent, we turn away from it, we don't engage in those things any longer. But have you ever noticed there's a whole nother set of sins that still sort of lingers there, and it's a long time and a long process through which God is changing us in regard to those things. Well, this particular thing here, becoming other-centered rather than self-centered, that's kind of a lifetime project for God with us, isn't it? Because there's always that tendency for the self to come back again. It's so easy to revert to thinking about ourselves first. But that's why the New Testament is full of these kinds of reminders, because this is the transformation that God is wanting to see take place in our life, going from a self-centered life to another centered life. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. The altered life is it's a passionate life. Passionate about, primarily about the things of God. That's what he's talking about here. Notice he's referring to the fervency in spirit. He's talking about serving the Lord. He's talking about being diligent. So, you know, we're not to be lackadaisical. If God's done a work in my life, and if that sanctification process is happening and the change is occurring, one of the things that we're going to see in our lives is there's going to be a passion for the things of God. There's going to be an intensity about that. Now, everybody has variations in their personality and the way they express things. My personality is one that's kind of non-expressive a lot of times. And, I can be super excited, but nobody would know it. Just my personality. But then also people will recognize sometimes, they'll go, wow, you know, I never saw that side of you before. I can get fired up about things as well. And I can think of even times, you know, somebody will ask me a question sort of like, hey, so what's your vision? Or what do you think about this? And all of a sudden I find myself, you know, I'm just getting intense about it. And, you know, and that's, there's that passion that comes through. Well, that's going to be there in our lives as God's people. That's what he's doing. He's creating in us a passion for himself and for the things of the Spirit. So the altered life is going to show itself in a degree of passion for spiritual things. Look at verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The altered life is a patient life. Patience, learning to wait. This is not anything that we really are too thrilled about, is it? Learning patience, waiting. Now, everything in our culture is, it takes us in the opposite direction of this, right? All of our new inventions, as far as our technology goes and all that, the main feature that everybody's always advertising is the speed with which this will accomplish certain tasks. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be patient. And that's fine when it comes to electronic gadgets, but it's not fine when it comes to life and people. And God wants to develop and cultivate in us a patience. And each one of these things imply that. Rejoicing in hope. Hope requires patience. Patient in tribulation is obvious. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Persevering in prayer. So we're going to become patient people as time goes on. When you meet somebody that's really impatient, or when you are being impatient, it's not pleasant, is it? It's not good. But I found myself last week, for whatever reason, just even though it wasn't necessarily coming out so much, it was in me, just this impatience. And you have to stop and think, wait a second, this isn't the way the Lord wants me to be. He wants to cultivate patience in our lives. Patience, we hear people say patience is a virtue. It is. It's a beautiful thing.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Altered Life, and the resource number is BBT0010. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign forever. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.